What a great and wonderful opportunity to be your speaker this morning. I'm very blessed with the health that I've received and the ability to come and stand before you and be your speaker. Today is known much around the country and around the world as Mother's Day, and we're very thankful for the idea of setting a day aside once a year to recognize the mothers. But we obviously all know, if we have any sense about us, that every day is a day that women and mothers in general deserve our respect and the acknowledgement of how much we appreciate the things that they do. This morning for our reading, we will have just two verses, a small excerpt. The first one is going to come from Proverbs, the 31st chapter, in verse 28 and 29. The Bible says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all." Also, in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, in verse 20, the Bible records here, it says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." This morning, I hope that we can appreciate and understand the importance of women in the church and in the world today, the importance of good, strong, faithful mothers to help raise us all. Today, we want to go over what the Bible teaches about mothers and women in general within the church and within this world, and how important they are to each and every one of us. But before we go any further, we have a wonderful duty and privilege to go to God in a word of prayer. We ask everyone to humble themselves in some manner as we pray. This morning, it's important to understand the topic of our lesson is not just about mom, but it's about the Christian woman. It's the importance of that. We see that in Genesis, Adam calls her Eve because she's the mother of everything. And that's important to understand. Everyone here has a mother in some form. We know of the orphans in this life that may be in foster homes or adopted of someone that is not their true biological mother, but that role is still important to them. It's very important to understand the care and the love and the nurture that comes from the female role in everyone's life, known as mom. It's important to understand how much we need that example in our life of kindness and love and caring. We can all maybe think of a time in our life, and if you can't, I'm very sorry. I totally understand. Of when we may have fell and scraped our knee, going to run to mom. Her arms always would take us and embrace us, would kiss our boo-boos and make us feel better. She would tell us how much we meant to her and how important we are. If you're here this morning and you've lost your mother or that person in your life that you consider mom, we're very apologetic for that, and we understand the loss that you have. It's rather unique, the relationship a person has with their mother. It's different. I'm not here today to talk about fathers in general, but we know that that relationship between father and mother is very unique and very different in itself. The interaction is different. This morning, I want to start my lesson off by reading a lengthy passage from Proverbs 31st chapter, verses 10 through 31. And when I read this, I tend to try to pretend I'm Dan. Dan is the one that really got me hooked on Proverbs and how great of a book it is. And when I read this, I hear his voice in my head because he does such a great job reading it. And so I hope I can do justice in pronouncing everything properly and painting a picture for you this morning of a virtuous woman. This passage is not an example of every woman on the earth today, but it is an example of what the Bible has to offer. So many times we try to mimic what the Bible teaches us, but it also shows us the sacrifice that most Christian women go through and the things that they do to mimic these scriptures. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins and strengthen her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a beautiful scripture here about a virtuous woman. What a great description of a hard-working, loving individual. Someone that is willing to go out of their way, sacrifice all for others. He talks about how her husband sits at the gates in a high seat with the elders because of the example his wife has given. It's important to understand the importance of a virtuous woman in each and every one of us our lives. Many of you may know my testimony and my story about my childhood, and for time's sake, I will not date myself this morning and go into detail and tell everybody about me, but if you know that I was raised by my grandmother, my father wasn't around much when I was a child, neither was my biological mother, but my grandmother was always there. I was adopted by her and my grandpa at an early age, and at 13 when he passed away, it was up to her. And many years into my teenage years, I never understood a lot of the things she would teach me. I discredited it a lot of times. But now looking back, I'm so appreciative that this lady that was in the age of retirement, that could have went and lived in a beach home by herself and enjoyed her retirement, took those valuable years of her life to raise me and my younger brother, because she knew how important it was to have that role in our life. I'm the man I am today because of a woman. I'm the man I am today, and I feel proud of myself in some aspects, maybe not so many others, but because a lady took the time to show me how to be a man. A woman's role in the church, in the home, and in the world is second to none. It is very important. It is an influence to all of us that we need to appreciate and accept the importance behind it. I want to look at a couple of examples that the Bible has to offer about mothers this morning. And the first one I'm going to start off with is not such a good example. We read in Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 6, the Bible tells us there, "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, 'Give me the head of John the Baptist in a charger.' And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat. He commanded it to be done. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. If you're not familiar with this story, Herodias was not fond of John the Baptist. They had a little history there. There was vengeance that she requested of for a long time. She wanted John to be beheaded by King Herod. But Herod favored John the Baptist. He knew he was a wise man, and he wasn't going to have it. So her daughter, in here, it says that she began to dance on Herod's birthday, and it pleased him. So he offered the damsel to anything she wanted, basically, up to half of his kingdom. And as a young child may do, as a daughter or a son, a lot of times we seek advice when we have one of these questions or one of these instances in our life cross our path where we know it can change our life forever. She has a wonderful opportunity. She could easily ask the king for a lot of money or great education or wonderful home to live in. There's a lot of things she can ask for. But before, as a smart child may do, before being hasty, she goes and counsels her mother. This mother did not think of the benefits that it had for her child. She did not put her child's needs first. She did not think of what the child may require going forward, even if she was to leave this world and leave her child by herself, that she would be taken care of. She knew that that was a possibility, but she did not seek that. Instead, she was selfish. Self-centered. She thought of no one but herself, her own wants, her own needs, the things in life she desired. She did not think of her child. She put her child aside and said, "What do I want for myself?" She tells her daughter to request the head of John the Baptist, the one which she had feuded with, the one that she had tried so hard to have removed because he was a nuisance to her. And so she did. The daughter took the advice of her mother. Another really good example that we can learn from this story is the example of a parent, and a mother in particular, that is set before the child. It's important to understand that we as adults, we as parents and mothers in particular, set a wonderful example. But there are times where our example could be tainted, could be toxic. We have to keep that in mind. We have to keep that in mind as people. I know women that do not have children, that were not able to have children, but were some of the best motherly examples to other people in their life when they didn't have to be. They were examples to other young ladies and other young men in the church, inspired them, studied with them, taught them different things about life, showed them the importance just by being here, by loving others, and by their service and duty through the church. This lady, Herodias, did not do that. She did not set a good example. She was not being a good mother. On the contrary, to be a little more positive and a little more optimistic and kind of better the mood here, there are three verses out of John, the 19th chapter, verses 25, 26, and 27 that teach me some of the most meaningful things about mothers. One in particular. Again, John 19, verse 25, it teaches us, says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith to his disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." We see a mother here for her child. We see a mother here in deep pain and deep sorrow for her child. We see a mother here with the love and the passion of a true mom. After his own disciples had abandoned him, had denied him, after all the town had cursed him and screamed, "Crucify him," and threw rocks and spit and punched and tortured this man, Jesus' mother was still there. She would not turn away. She would not abandon him there in his time of deepest need. She would not let anything come between her and her son from being present and being a support. As many would stand and deny knowing him, she would not leave his side. We see two examples this morning. The first, the mother there that was very selfish, and the one that was being a true mother. A mother should always be quick to put her children's needs first and love them unconditionally. So many times we see this in life, but we live in a world that is very disheartening. There are a lot of, it's hard for me to say the word men in this world, but that abandon their children. They have nothing, don't want anything to do with them. They will help make them, but they will not help raise them. And it's hard for me to call these individuals men. It is disheartening to know that you wouldn't want to be there for your child. But there are so many mothers that will stand in there against all odds, with their children, and still make a way for them to grow. It's encouraging. It's very important to realize how tough a task that must be. We see and hear stories of women that have their children, two or three kids, maybe more, maybe less, work their jobs while the child is in school, will rush home to pick them up from school, to make their lunch, to cook their meals, to help them with their homework, and then go to rest at night, maybe late hours, early in the morning, just to get up, rinse, and repeat. To be there for their children, the strength that must take. We read of the virtuous woman who gets up early in the morning to collect the food for her home. We see that. It's a trait. And it's important to appreciate it. But where it applies to the church, oh, it's important. It's important to understand a woman's role in church is very needy. I can't tell you how many times Pearly Pepper scolded me as I got down from the pulpit because I mispronounced something or I didn't explain it right. But Pearly Pepper at that moment, I will never forget, was one of those women that I did not want to disappoint going further. And a lot of women in other roles as well that I've met now have encouraged me and have taught me. There's many times that I'll look at Caitlin when I'm confused on a subject and I'm studying or anything in life, and she will almost instantly give me an answer that I understand that really helps me and encourages me. I spoke of my grandmother, and I think that everyone here has someone in their life that they can think of in that light. But the Christian importance behind that, the encouragement that a woman brings, a mother brings, the nourishment with the Scripture that comes with it is very important to all of us. A mother is a teacher and an example to her children is something that we stated. And I think a really good example of this is from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Verse 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, the pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Now he's writing this letter to Timothy and he tells him this. "When I call to remembrance the unfrayed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lewis and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also." The Bible doesn't tell us much about the presence of Timothy's father in his life, But it makes a clear distinction of his grandmother and his mother here, of the example that they had on his life. Now, we're talking about Timothy of the Bible. Paul is writing to him. He's traveled with the Apostle Paul. Paul has so many great things to say about Timothy here. He says, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, without ceasing. I have remembered thee, a remembrance of thee, in my prayers, night and day. Paul loved this man. He was a great influence on the church. And it was all derived from his grandmother and his mother, from the example and the influence that they had on his life, turned him into the great man that we all know and love, and that Paul also knew and loved. How powerful it is to hear that. We have to understand this morning to never take advantage or take for granted the love that our mothers and our sisters in the church have given for us, the care and the support. They give us the confidence to stand up and lead a song or to give a sermon. They give us the strength and the knowledge to know how to approach someone and the and encouragement and the discipline to continue to read our scriptures. The role of a mother, of a wife, of a sister in the church is so vital it cannot be cut off and expect survival. Adam again calls Eve, because she is the mother of everything. And how important that is to understand. The Bible teaches us as children on several occasions, both Old and New Testament, on how we are expected to act towards our parents. Proverbs 1 and 8 says, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 15 and 20 says, A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. That's a powerful statement. A very, very true statement, too. If you can imagine growing up in your home with your mother and father or your parents, and you did something you was not supposed to do, you knew what dad was going to do. You knew the discipline was coming. And it was needed. And if you grew up in a home like mine, and my grandma was not afraid of pulling a switch out or whatever, I knew discipline was coming. But the disappointment on her face, or the tears that may have come down her eye, as disappointed as they were, it hurt the most. That's what truly hurts. We don't want to let them down. They've done so much and sacrificed so much for us to have the life that we have. There's no need for us, as it says here in Proverbs, to be as foolish as we sometimes are. Another lesson that we can learn from this is great relation to our Father that is in heaven. So many people tend to forget that as Christians, as unbelievers that go through this world, we beg for them to obey the plan of salvation. We beg for people to come and make that commitment because we understand the discipline that comes if you don't. We understand that in the end of time, discipline will come down. We will be punished. But there's a side of that that a lot of people don't see. That as Christians, when we do things to be so foolish, our Father in heaven is very disappointed as well. He's sad. He's overwhelmed with disappointment. We must understand that same feeling we get when we see our mothers upset and our fathers upset from foolish mistakes and sinful things we've done, the same emotions are coming from our Father in heaven. In Proverbs 19 and 26, it says, He that wasteth his father and chasteth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Proverbs 20 and 20, it says, Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 23 and 22, Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The book of Proverbs is a really good place to go get any type of wealth of knowledge that you're looking for as far as just life. There's financial advice, there's marital advice, there's advice about being a child, there's advice about being a good husband, there's advice about being a good mother, good wife. The advice is just a wealth of knowledge. I have met people in the past that have told me they do not believe in God. They do not believe in the Bible. And I say, well, at least read Proverbs. At least read Proverbs. It has just good advice in it. And here it gives us great advice on how children to treat their mother and their father. It gives us advice on how to be good children. And as Christian children, we should also heed this advice. Proverbs 20 and 20 again says, who curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now understand what that's telling us there. It's not talking about a lamp that I have sitting on the end of the at the end table at the end of the couch. It's talking about your light shall be put out. You shall be put out into obscure darkness. There is a punishment for being disrespectful. There is a punishment for abusing your parents. There is a punishment for that. It doesn't go unanswered. You can never forget about it. And for most of us that have any type of moral conscience, it scars us for a long time. I remember when my grandfather died, my dad's biggest problem that he came across, he was always say, I can't believe I talked to my dad that way that time. Or I was so disrespectful. And you may have a moment in your life where maybe you did something disrespectful to your parents that you regret now and you will regret later. And I think that's why the Bible encourages so much to remember that. I could have given you every scripture that the Bible had to offer about being respectful to our parents, but we'd have been here for a very long time if I would have done that. I could have given you every detail. The Bible does not skip any corners on being respectful children to our mothers and fathers. It does not. It is very clear that it is wrong, and it is very clear that it is there will be a punishment for it. As children, we must respect them and love them. Matthew 15 and 4 teaches us, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. Matthew 15 and 5 also says, shortly right after that, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. It's important to understand that we must be willing, as man, woman, child, to respect those that we consider parents. On our last subject this morning, for a short time, I want to talk about the duties of Christians when it comes to single mothers and widows. I think this is important to understand. If you're here this morning and you fit in either of those categories, know that we're here to support you. We're here to help. We understand how hard it may be and the things that you go through, as we talked earlier. But it's responsibility not as the church, but as Christian individuals to support and help those. I will give you the scripture for that. James 1 and 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the fathers of this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. 1 Timothy 5 and 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. 1 Timothy 5 and 16 says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let him relieve them. And this is important to understand this next part. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. This teaches us right here a very important thing. We must be willing as God's children to treat the women of the church with enough respect to help them in a time of need. This is not a church duty per se, but an individual initiation. We must be willing as people to see those in need and go help them. This should not be something that someone else has to tell you to do. You must have enough sense to want to help those as our mothers had enough sense to help us. I painted a picture, or I tried to give an image of being a child earlier this morning and scraping your knee and running to mom to be embraced. Think of that. Think of that moment again. And I try to think of Jesus as a child, as he may have been running around playing as a young toddler or young adolescent, flipping over rocks looking for bugs or playing in the dirt, as most young men do, and scraping his knee and running to his mom. And she embraced him, looked upon his face, and said, "I love you." A mother raised Christ into the man that died on the cross. A mother instilled in Christ the things that she knew that were to come to pass because an angel told her that it would happen. She raised Christ into the man that he is. It's important to understand that as she sat there at the foot of that cross and watched him take his last breath, that a mother will always be there for her child. It's important to understand that. In conclusion, the love of a mother cannot be bought, yet is highly sought after, is a highly sought after commodity. The presence of a mother is demanded, but is not always provided. It must be applied. But we can all see this morning in one form or another, I hope, just how important the mom is to the family, to the church, and to the world. Are you a Christian this morning? If not, why do you wait? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I scored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you're not a Christian, why do you wait? The Bible says the time is now. Now is the only thing that's guaranteed. Right now is the only breath that we are promised. Right now is the time to make things right. Now is the time to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and complete the plan as was instructed in our words. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 10 says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, and they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, the eternal glory." Salvation was not free. It was bought by the blood of Christ that we mentioned this morning, that was hung on a wooden cross to die and suffer and be raised again 3 days later, so that me and you and everyone on this planet, man, woman, and child, have the opportunity to accept Christ and obey His gospel and have salvation, as the Bible teaches. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, the plan is as simple as this. Hear Jesus. Matthew 17:5 teaches this. Believe in Jesus. John 8:24 teaches us that. Repent of your sins. Change your life. Stop living that life. Be willing to start anew. Confess Him. Acts 8:37 is important. Confessing Him, that He is the Son of God to all those around. And be baptized into Him. Acts 22:16 teaches us that. To have our sins washed away and come in contact with the blood of Christ. After that, we must remain faithful. We must live as Christians, as we talk today, as loving, accepting, helping each other Christians. But we fall short sometimes. And when that happens, the Bible gives us a solution. Life is not over at that point. We have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins, things that we have thought, said, or done, / justified, through prayer. If you are here this morning and you're not a Christian, or if you are and you have the need of the church in any form, please come as we stand and as we sing.